start here at 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Well, it's just gone 4:15 a.m. and the Darkness into Light 2015 fundraising jog or walk or run has just begun, and I'm running down the centre of the Phoenix Park in this 5k event, surrounded by 10,000 people this year and tens of thousands of others taking part all across the country and indeed abroad as well. And by the time most of these people finish this 5k walk, jog or run, the morning will have broken. Darkness into Light.
Does it feel like to you that you're in a bubble and that you can't reach out to people and that there's no way out of this?
Well, the very nature of depression is that you don't want to mix with people, and I think it's a catch 22 situation. Like, if you want to move depression out of your life, you reach out to people, but the very fact that you are under this cloud and that you are depressed, you will not mix with people. That's the problem. So it's a catch 22. What you're supposed to do, you can't do it. It's not that you won't do, but you physically can't do it.
And at its worst, how did it affect you?
Oh, at its worst, I wasn't getting up. I stayed in bed. I had no mind to eat, no mind to socialise. The very fact of going for a drink was something that I just couldn't handle. The night was a great time. The dawning of the day was absolute hell.
Farming has undergone many revolutions over the decades. Today, farms are mechanicalised, focused on one enterprise or another, using modern technology and science to improve productivity and profitability. But a lot of this is alien to Martin Mullen.
He's 4 year old now.
4 year old.
What does he bring to the party?
A lot of damn noise, you know, this time of year, because in the morning, that boy could start up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
He is what you would describe as a traditionalist, preferring to use his Clydesdales rather than a tractor, preferring to spread manure rather than slurry. He's a man of the soil who believes that modern-day farming has been harmful to the environment, to wildlife. For his part, he wants to leave the land the way he found it.
Like, he had partridge, he had grouse, you had pheasant. They're all gone.
Why are they all gone?
Yeah. I'll tell you, it wasn't the old way of farming that done away with them. It's great. You can go out now and you can get a tractor or a bit of machinery. You can do anything, and all you have to do is push a button. But what damage you do? To go out, you would actually need to see a slurry tanker spreading slurry on a field that there was never slurry put on before to see what actually happens. Give it 15, 20 minutes, all the worms that are in that field will be in the top, are dead. That's common sense. It's like, I mean, the worms are there for a purpose. And what are we going to do?
Well, how would you help regenerate grassland then, if you weren't going to use fertiliser or slurry?
No way. You have the middens. You have the, like, you cleaned out your byre, you mucked it out, and you had a dung heap, and you scattered that. I still spread it with a grape. There was more things wild in the line of wildlife and that. Mm. There was more things then than there is now.
The farmyard is a cacophony of sounds. Geese, cattle, hens, horses, goats and sheep. A throwback to the small Irish family farm of yesteryear.
Again, as I say, I'm not about being against. You know, I'm more about just keeping an old way alive.
Martin has a goat which he milks by hand, providing him, a neighbour and a few suck calves on the farm with fresh goat's milk daily.
Just for your own concern?
Well, she has too much milk, she couldn't. Okay. She gave me 3 litres in the morning and 2 at night.
And do you drink it?
I use it just myself.
Just yourself? And you want to have an acquired taste now for the milk?
And there's a neighbour woman comes for some because she has asthma and she feels it.
It helps. Yeah. So you milk her anyway.
Between her and the cow, I can feed this, like, it makes a big difference feeding the calves because it's always so much saved, you know. That's
How's the beat, boss?
You don't hear them sounds too often now, you know.
Yeah.
You've the three-legged stool here, and the oat milking bucket. And as I said, it's not often that you hear those sounds of hand milking anymore.
Champion trainer and champion jockey take quite a bit of skill. Champion owner just means you probably have too many horses and too much time on your hands. We are in the jumping game, hopefully to win graded races. We've had a very good year this year, including a couple of winners at Cheltenham. So it's been a great year, and I would hope that JP will win the champion owner position because he deserves it.
And he's done so over the years with the help of one AP McCoy, who's now finishing up, going out at the top. What do you have to say about AP? As good as you've seen?
Good riddance. Glad to see the back of him. I'm fed up looking at his bum. I've been looking at his bum for about 10 years. You know, I think he's been one of the legendary sports people produced by the island of Ireland over the last 10 or 20 years. Clearly, it will be a very long time before we see somebody rewrite record books the way he has rewritten them. And we've all been very lucky to been able to see him at his best, and I hope we'll all see him again here at the Fairy House over Easter.
Okay, your sale, of course, at Jigginstown, it's of your pedigree Angus herd. I think you sold between 40 and 50 lots last year there.
It's about 25 bulls and usually, you know, about 20 heifers.
Yeah, what's this year's crop like?
It's a very good crop, actually. I don't understand why, but we have a very strong team of bulls, probably because we have more autumn calvers in the group. And this year we've also focused on having more in-calf heifers. So, there's a very exciting team. A lot of interest in the sale this year. Interestingly, you know, the strength of Stirling means we've had a lot more inquiries from the north. Mm. So we're expecting an invasion of Jigginstown from the northern counties on Saturday the 18th. And I hope we'll have a good day and everybody will enjoy themselves.
And what role do you play there that day? Are you knocking around?
I should be knocking around. Last year I was taken away by my wife on the children's Easter holiday. This year, I'm glad to say, I'll be back. So I would be fulfilling my role, shampooing cattle, polishing their bums, wiping their tails, and generally trying to get out of the way of people who are doing something useful on the day.
Yeah, beef farming went through a tough time last year, but there seems to be huge buoyancy this year. I know it's comparing apples and oranges, but cattle prices are very, very dear in the marts again of recent times. Do you often wonder, you know, farmers, they go back at it again, despite getting stung one year, they're back in paying big bucks the following year?
Oh, to be fair, prices through most of the winter have been soft enough.
Yeah, we have 60 clean ewes and a couple of crossbreds.
Do you find, is it a difficult place being a woman in farming?
I've quite enjoyed it actually, because it makes me feel like a feminist all over again. I mean, I like that thing of being, you know, one of the few women there at the mart. I mean, it would be great to see more women. It would be great to see more women taking an interest in livestock, in sheep particularly, because they're easy to handle. Mm. I mean, they're not easy to handle, but they're light enough to handle, let's say. And it's nice to see women showing sheep and all that kind of stuff. Even though I was a beginner, you know, nobody kind of treated you
any different.
No,
yeah,
no. Yeah. I mean, you know, if you're trying to sell sheep or rams or whatever, yeah, you'll have guys who'll try and, you know, who'll go, oh, this will be an easy sale, you know, because you're a woman.
Right.
But
yeah,
it's not
yeah.
that easy. Talk to me.
And considering, Orla, you know, I suppose that you came from a countryside where attitudes would have been very conservative towards the idea of two women together coming to farm in rural Ireland. Did that enter your mind at all in making the decision to come here?
Not really, because I guess I knew I'd have the support of my own family, and I think Ireland's changed a lot in the last years, and I think Doc Martens were more shocking than gay people are today somehow. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I never thought about it in that way.
I think we had, because Orla was raised here and knew the community so well, that I was introduced quite quickly and very nicely. And I must honestly say I love the Irish people.
Yeah.
Never had any comment or remark.
But get back to the kernel point. How are you going to increase milk production by 50% and not have an effect on the environment when we know that livestock is the biggest contributor to greenhouse gas emissions?
Okay, first of all, as I said already, there will not be a huge increase in the total number of livestock based on Chagas figures. Those figures are there. They're in the public. It's easy enough to see.
Okay, Victoria.
I'm sorry. I mean, ultimately, can we trust Chagas figures? Because Chagas figures, they can't look into the future with a crystal ball. The issue here is that we are, you know, sucking it and seeing, you know, what happens.
Just lighting the smoker here, which is an essential part of the toolkit when we're down at the bees.
Calms them down.
It calms them down, but it calms down if we put the smoke into them, the bees think that they're being attacked with the hives on fire. So what they do, they'll go up and they'll eat honey. They feel themselves ready to evacuate the hive. So for a bee to sting you, he needs to be able to bend his abdomen. So if his belly's full of honey, he can't bend the abdomen to sting you. So that's the theory. It doesn't always work, mind you. Now, I'm going to be working there. It's important you don't work from the front because this is the flight path of the bees. You've heard of the bee line?
Yes.
Well, that's the bee line.
Ah, that's where the word bee line comes from.
They go in and out the same way. Wow.
Now, we're totally surrounded by bees. So what are you checking now?
I'm checking out, first of all, make sure that we have a queen. Mm-hmm. And I can either do that by spotting the queen. The queen is marked in this particular hive. She'll have a red mark, red dot in her back.
Oh, wow. That's a big one. And of course, Peter, we probably don't realise the importance of bees in terms of food supply.
Yeah, but people are only just starting to cop onto that now since the decline in the bees. Yeah. People are getting a very big wake-up call because they're just so important. Like, without the bees, there'd be no pollination or very little. Mm-hmm. Pesticides is the biggie. We also have another pest called the varroa mite. They attach themselves to the bee and they suck the bee's blood. And they weaken the bee. If the bees go, 3 to 4 years later, we're gone. This hive isn't as full of bees as I thought it would be. So I strongly think that the queen here has got her marching orders.
After a busy search, no sign of the queen. But then we spot a swarm hanging from a tree.
The elusive queen, we've just found the swarm. Just the swarm.
And the queen is returned to the hive, which is an integral part of the Blissbury farm experience.
Now, we want to be very careful picking the branch down because an odd little shake out of place and the whole lot will fall onto the ground.
Darren had actually got the quad for Christmas. He had been begging my dad to get it for him because he felt he needed it as a farming tool and that it would be useful. And because Darren was so safety conscious and that he was so well beyond his years, he felt that it was okay to get it to him. The person even that he sold to him was drilled into Darren that you have to wear a helmet and had educated him to safety. My dad and mum had educated him to safety of it, but still accidents can happen.
And you say that he had a helmet but just wasn't wearing it.
He just wasn't wearing it that odd night. Yeah. And any other time up to then, he was always wearing his helmet. It was just this freak occasion. He didn't happen to wear it.
Simply because he probably thought, I just have to nip down here to see is this gate closed and I'll be back up then in a couple of minutes.
He literally had a few minutes work to do.
Does it make it a little more difficult as well that we're standing here 20 seconds walk from the kitchen of your house, that this isn't an accident that happened away on a road that you may not pass ever again, that Darren died here where we're standing right beside the house?
It has a terrible impact, to be really honest. It means I'm coming home to the place where the accident where Darren happened on a daily basis, and it's something that will never ever leave me. I struggle to even come down to this field where it happened because it has this dark reminder of the night of where I could see Darren. I can even see visions of him right now lying face down and the blood coming from his ears after the accident happened, and nothing we could do to help save him. He was gone.
Memories of Darren are prominent inside the Shanahan family home. Darren was gifted in so many ways. He was a musician and a hurler, and he loved farming and carpentry. His mother, Geraldine, holds a precious photo of a smiling Darren sitting on an old Massey Ferguson tractor, which Darren amazingly had restored all by himself.
That's a Massey Ferguson 35 that was my dad's tractor, and Darren took it apart and down to the wheels and everything. He did it all up on concrete blocks. And he ordered all the special parts from Massey Ferguson through an agent because he couldn't deal with them directly.
What age was he at that stage?
12, 13 max.
He was a genius.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we mentioned restaurants there earlier. This proposal regarding calories and menus, is the government serious, Minister? I mean, were you part of this? Surely it won't work. It's a bonkers plan, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's a very sensible plan. I think consumers have a right to know what they're eating. We have...
But a person that's, you know, tipping 20 stone and is eating rubbish and drinking fizzy drinks every day and wondering why they're obese, that are you telling me that that's the case?
Look, I mean, in every element of the food industry in Ireland, we're getting more science-based. Whether it's measuring carbon footprint on beef farms and dairy farms, or whether it's, improving the sustainability of how we manufacture and process foods. And consumers are asking me and others all of the time for more information on the food that they're eating. And one of the things they want to know is whether it's healthy or not. They want to know the calorie levels.
But wouldn't it be
on.
Better if we knew where it was coming from for a start? In a lot of cases, we don't.
But sure, I mean, in a lot of cases we do, Damien.
No, we don't. I mean, you go in and we're eating chicken burgers, I'm reading chicken fillets, and we don't know where they're from.
Well, sorry, we are changing
pig meat is another issue. And you're listening to Countrywide here on RT Radio 1. Beef farmers, as we know, are currently experiencing a torrid time with meat factories over prices. And yesterday, the IFA continued with their whistle-stop blockading of supermarkets, this time with the help of big tractors outside the Aldi supermarket in Mitchellstown to highlight low prices. Ultimately, farmers are at the behest of the factories and ultimately the retailers when it comes to what they are paid for their cattle. But one farmer who doesn't have to worry too much about factory price is Padraig Gilligan from County Roscommon. That's because he kills his own cattle and sells the meat in his own shop. From farm to fork is no more than 100 metres, as I discovered when I dropped by the farm this week, where his cattle were resting in sheds to the strains of music penned by local legend Percy French. The Gilligan farm is nestled in Kilbride, about 4 miles outside Roscommon town.
And we're here in Darren, County Roscommon, in the parish of Kilbride.
It's where Padraig Gilligan grew up farming.
This is my father's farm, and this is where we started from here.
But back in 1991, sick of getting poor prices for his cattle, he went into butchering, and 5 years ago, he opened his own shop to sell his beef to customers from far and wide.
Every time I sold cattle, I never was happy with the price.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe there's a better way of doing this, so I started into butchering, bought a shop in Roscommon and started from there.
Padraig, who runs the business with his son Alan, buys heifers at local marts at about 16 months of age, feeds them and keeps them for 100 days before killing.
The type of cattle that we go for is R2 grade cattle of any breed. We feel that the finishing of the cattle is the most important part of our business.
Left a mongrel snarling, asses maul, I frighten that the pony'll start, and her little arm she tied.
And it's during those 100 days that the cattle become accustomed to the voice of Brendan O'Dowda singing Percy French songs.
Yaxter, may I steal a kiss or so?
Well, that's Percy French. So, something we introduced to the cattle here, just to relax the cattle. It's very relaxing for the cattle.
Right, you play Percy French in the background on the speakers.
Well, it's Percy French's songs, the lyrics in them. We find them fascinating, the lyrics. Keep it local.
Right. And do you think it relaxes the cattle?
Well, absolutely, yeah. Because cattle, your voice is very important to cattle. You know, when a stranger comes in with a strange voice, cattle don't like that. So they're so relaxed when they listen to the music. And we play the same music for them when they're being slaughtered.
But then Kitty would charm the birds off a bush, and that left the lad in a horrid nonplush.